I want to go a little side trip here. So tomorrow we'll do what we were going to do today, which is just make a star or something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's this incredible verse that we've looked at a few times here in 1 Corinthians 15. He goes, starting with verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which was thou sowest not that body which shall be, but bare grain, or it may chance of wheat, or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh for men, another flesh for beasts, another for fishes, another for birds, or another of birds. And some even come from California. There are also celestial bodies. It wasn't in there, I just made that up. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is a glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And the last Adam was who?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ was the last Adam. Then who are we? There's something that altered the universe. And it altered even the identity of men. He was the last Adam. So what are we? We are nothing but a vessel. We don't have an independent identity. Does that communicate to anybody?
Say that again, please.
I don't remember what I just said.
We don't have an independent identity.
I was being facetious. I knew what I said. But.
Sorry, sometimes I can't tell facetious from.
You have to be that way when you're around people from California.
Right. Okay. Also, if you're senile.
The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, notice that was made isn't even in there. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so also such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are that are also that also that I can't even talk start over on that one. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. We have borne, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, again, I've asked this question many times in the past. If he was the last Adam, who are we? And why did Pentecost not come until 40 years after the crucifixion, or approximately?
We mean 40 days.
Huh?
You said 40
years. 40 days, yeah. Something happened. Something universal happened. And it's altered the human... His presence here altered the human race. It altered who we are. It altered every possibility that Adam had before. Because Adam didn't make it. Remember, he was tried and innocent?
Huh? What do you mean he didn't make it?
Well, he's not here. He died in Christ.
Okay.
The point is, who are we then? If he was the last Adam, who are we? That's a logical question.
Vessels for that spirit. Hmm? Vessels for that risen spirit.
Maybe. We may be deceiving ourselves and think we're vessels of that spirit, and the real answer is we're dead. We're not, but we're not a vessel for that living spirit unless we die. And this is why all men died on the cross.
Isn't that true whether we believe it or not?
What?
That all men died on the cross.
It says it. They said they did.
So then, either it's true or it's not true. You can choose to believe it or don't believe it.
All Adam died on the cross.
Right.
Now, it doesn't matter whether you believe about it. It's an eternal fact.
Right, that's the fact.
Huh?
That's the fact part.
Right, all men died on the cross.
Right.
The human race, Adam, died on the cross. And what are we? We are vessels for the evil one. Oh, yes, we are.
Well, no, we're not.
Hmm?
Why would you believe that as opposed to believing we're vessels for the Spirit of God?
Well, because we continue on using our minds. As long as we use our minds, we're the vessels of the evil one. There's no doubt. There's no... That's why you must die in order to be a believer. It's not an option. You can call yourself a believer night and day for 40 years or 100 years, and it doesn't mean anything. What only thing that means something is that we have a new identity, a new persona, a new vessel, a new thing that's in the vessel. But that thing, that being that's in the vessel, doesn't manifest himself unless the vessel dies to self. Otherwise, you're something that's really unknown. If he was the last Adam, then what are we?
What if the last Adam was made a quickening spirit?
He's the one that is
quickening.
A life-giving spirit. He is it. He is the only way. He is the universal, doesn't matter what you... Nobody in the... God, especially, but... Nobody in the world cares what we believe. we must find, in terms of our own understanding, something that makes something that's in agreement with the Bible. But we dance around this all the time. We are convinced we're alive. And we try to make alive mean something better. We are dead. All men died on the cross. If one died for all, then all are dead. So we are simply vessels. The great majority of the vessels of that have been since Christ have been vessels. You're born as a vessel for the evil one. Now, does this mean anything to you? It's got to cause you to think, I think, or hope.
I'm sidetracked a little bit, but not sidetracked, but I was thinking about the revelation that you shared with, and that you continue to share for so many decades, and then the torment, the pain that you suffer on a daily basis is almost like, I'm trying to tie the two together, it's like the more revelation and the more preaching of the cross that you preach is, it's like it's the more you suffer. Because I get what you just said. I had never heard it stated that way. But there's a price, right? There's a price you're paying for it.
Well,
no, is that a weird way to say it? I think you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, but it's not about me. It's about
The vessel that you're the vessel.
But again, the whole history of I know nothing in terms of suffering with regard compared to Paul. I mean, there's a jillion models, but no, there are not many models of sight, because we always try to keep ourselves alive. We are worrying what we're going to do tomorrow, or we sit down and cast and think about and try to get it so that we can say things right, or so that we can believe things right. And that's the whole trick of the evil one, is that he causes you to believe whatever he wants you to believe. But that can only happen if you don't repent for everything else. You understand what I'm saying? You think I talk about repentance too much. You can't talk about repentance too much.
That's the only gift, isn't it?
It's the only way to the way.
The gift.
It's a gift of God. But it's a gift of God depending on your level of seeing the world. If you see the world as this bright, shiny place with wonderful things, and you're going to conquer it and do this and that, then you're just another something, I don't know what.
Vessel for the evil one.
Hmm?
What you just said.
Yeah.
That's what
they're trying to do, the same thing they did in the garden.
So you're saying anyone who is using the mind is a vessel, who uses their mind or uses it a lot, whatever, is a vessel for the evil one.
Your mind is evil above all things. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It can't even understand the law of God. Can't understand the mystery of God. Because it always takes that mystery, which is not singular, to make it something that applies to them. But it doesn't apply to them until it applies to them. You're not in the mercy seat because you say you're on the mercy seat. You're on the mercy seat when you're on the mercy seat. You're not a believer when you say you're a believer. You're a believer when you're a believer, when nothing else comes into your life. We have this whole system of thought that I'm going to put God over here, and then I've got to worry about this over here, and then I've got this over here. And it's just, it's like you got a big, I don't know what. But nothing happens that has any merit to God unless the first thing you do is die. You see that you died on the cross. If you don't see that, then you're going to continue on in the way of Adam, in the way of deception, being deceived. Deceived and being deceived is the way the Bible calls it. Well, let's go on. Verse 52. Yeah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured, is what the word changed there. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, it's not talking about in the future. You have to put it on now. You put on immortality by an exchange of identities. Go to John 3 a minute. This isn't some esoteric. It's the basis of what the Bible says. Did I say John?
Yeah,
John 3. I didn't say John. John 3, if I can find it. I found Luke. This is the... My side trip is taking longer than I thought it was. This is his confrontation with Nicodemus. When Nicodemus, the member of the Sanhedrin, came to him at night or away, so the other Sanhedrin guys didn't know he was talking to Jesus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do those miracles that thou hast done except God be with him. Now, he's trying to... How do you say it?
Sucking up.
Sucking up. That's a good way to say it. And what is Christ's response to him? Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm so glad you believe. No. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born, and again, the word again, it should better translate it as born from above, born from out of time. Except a man be born again, or born from out of time. It's better really translated is born from above. That's the best way to translate it. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus ignored this too. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, or born from above, as I said. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that which we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and thou believest not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And this is the operative word here in verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, you can't arise to heaven unless you came from heaven. Isn't that what it says? Mm-hmm. So then if we came from heaven, what's all this religious crap? What's all these to-dos and not-to-dos? What is all this planning and thinking and what we're going to do next? And if you're from above, according to the scriptures, there's a whole different... Well, let me finish reading this. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, you can't have any of you left for you to, in order for, otherwise you won't, you're just kidding yourself. You must be gone. You must die. You must pick up the cross so that he alone lives. It's not an option. If he is not your only life, then you're trying to mix worlds. They don't mix. And you make decisions based on the world, not on the spirit. I mean, you just live our lives like normal people. And the mystery is that if you read with any integrity the Bible and read all these books I've been reading lately about the first century church, is you have to see that there is a violent, it's violent. It tears you away from everything. But we still, all of us try, and I'm guilty as the next, I have one foot over here in this world, and I'll have hopefully one foot in heaven. It doesn't work. It's not what you're going to do when you die or where you're going. It's what you're doing today. That's the whole issue of what I wanted to study today. And if you're not living by faith alone, then you're still living in the world. Well, this is as radical as it gets. But this radical nature is what turned the world upside down. You know, Jesus predicted what would happen. He said, you will be hated of all men. Huh. We're not hated by anybody. Because we're teaching Casper Milk Toast or something. I don't know what we're teaching. But the only way that you'll be hated of all men is when you show the vanity and emptiness of their lives, of all forms of thought. He didn't come just against religion. He came against every form of thought there is, because really all thought is religious. But there has to come a split. When you split away from this thing that was you, and it gets buried in the ground, and a new creation is, which is no longer any of your business, is manifest. Does that compute? Do you understand? That's what it means to be born again, or born from above. And you tear off the the garment of the world, and you, I'm not talking about running all naked, but you're a new creation that didn't even exist before. So this thing about salvation is so, I mean, you must be born from above. And only that which is came from heaven can return to heaven. The only one that came from heaven was Christ. And the only one that is going to be in heaven with him is his bride. And his bride is going to be, there can't be a spot on the garment. Our garments are so spotted we can't even see that it was once white, because we are so constantly giving importance to something other than him.
Yeah.
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That mind that was in him was total emptiness. Kino, that's what the word is. His mind was empty of himself. He can do nothing of himself or from himself. So that there was an open channel of direct from him to God. And that open channel must be the same channel that's open to us to God. Otherwise, we're just kidding ourselves and running around doing religious stuff. And I got in this because I still feel that sense of urgency that the end is coming before I die. Well, I'm getting pretty old. Maybe the end is just coming for me for when I die, but that's not what I saw when I was converted. And there's so many, essentially, I don't even know the verb form, but they're talking about something in the future, but they're putting it in today's terms. And that's what we are transfigured by the renewing of our mind. Now, what is that renewing? It goes back to zero, back to total and complete 100 dependence on the Father for your next breath. Now, most of the time, I was going to say probably, but I'm at least satisfied with what the world that goes on in our lives in the body of Christ. But lately it's becoming more and more and more. We can't mix with the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Any response?
When you talk about all men, that, you know, I know what you're talking about, you know, all men hate you. Must hate you. How does that go again?
If you're a follower of his, you'll be hated of all men.
And the hated of all men—that's the teaching of the cross, the true radical simplicity of what we believe. That's what's hated.
Well, it's everything. It's like what happens is you become a threat to every form of thought there is in the world. It's not just religion.
Become a threat to every thought.
Every form of thought.
Every form of thought.
And you can't be a threat to every form of thought until you're a threat to every form of thought. You know?
Yeah.
You can't. It's time we got out of the middle ground.
Well, that's why everyone deserted them at the end, right?
Well, yeah, they had a lot of good reasons to desert them from the mind standpoint.
Peter and
everybody. Fear.
Here.
Go to John 5. One more, a little bit worse. Let's go to verse 30, chapter 5 of John. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Let's go back to 20, down to 29. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and but they are they that testify only of me. What's it says?
Wait, where are you?
Where'd you go to?
39.
Sorry. 39.
Oh, 30,
you said
29. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I skipped a few.
All right.
Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, or only of me, is what he's saying. Then testify of you, it testifies of him. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor of one another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Anyway, that's not where I thought it was. It's there, but it's many places in John. You will be hated of all men. We're not hated by anybody. Most people just think we're fools.
Well, you have a couple people that hate.
Huh?
There's a couple people out there that hate you guys.
Well, that didn't count.
Hate us.
Anyhow, I just wanted to cement in this radicalness of what you say we believe. It is radical beyond radical. Mm-hmm. And it has a demand on it that you live by faith alone. Consider these things at least.
Yeah.
Any response? Gary, you're musing.
Well, the reality is, as a believer, when you go out into the world, everything comes against what you've seen in God. And that's testing ground. It's where it's proven whether you believe, where you're going to fall for the world's deceptions or whatever. It has to be tested and tried, or it's of really no value. We've talked about
that. I think that from my life, that's what I mean. I couldn't stop talking about him when I was a believer, I first believed. I mean, it was everything. And then I went on this trip. I decided I really didn't like what I had seen when I was converted, so I was kind of trying to restudy the scriptures to make sure I was going to prove him wrong. And that didn't work out. And then I just saw myself as totally unworthy for it, so I went out and you all heard me talk about lying in my face in the mud for 4 days out on a lake up north here. And but that time, it took something. It destroyed any doubts that I had. The time in the mud. It made me probably as radical as I am. But for me, and I think I know the scriptures pretty well. I mean, it's you're dead. If you're not dead, he doesn't live. There's no question in my mind that I am dead. The questioning comes when, you know, when pain gets intense, and I say, "Why don't you just shoot me, God," or something like that. And he hasn't. And I'm not going to shoot myself, so that's out of the question. I've had many opportunities to try that. But all I'm trying to do is to get us to see the radicalness of what we teach and what the Bible is. It's a total separation of everything you once knew and held dear. It's more radical than anything we can even believe and talk about. It's not an add-on to your life. It's your death. But somehow we've done what the first century church we found impossible to do, is we made our ideas about God stuff acceptable unto men. Well, it never has been and it never will be. Because if you were truly, it says it all over the New Testament, but you will be hated of all men. Anyhow, enough said.
So everybody, we'll start loving other teachings too.
What?
If the love of God's not in you, you're going to start loving other teachings.
Well, that's crazy.
You will. You'll change.
All right. Take it, big guy.